look on his face and be like, yeah, I'm gonna, if this goes through and I can do this, I'm gonna keep her skull as a trophy.
When a young mother working as a pizza delivery driver near Akron, Ohio, failed to return from a delivery on the night of June 20th, 2012, her manager reported her missing to the police. Upon investigation, police found a bloody scene and evidence of a struggle at the address of her last delivery, but there was no one there. The search for Ashley Biggs was on. Before we begin, we would like to extend our deepest sympathies to the family and loved ones of Ashley Biggs. In 2012, Ashley Biggs was a 25-year-old Army veteran working as a pizza delivery driver for Domino's located in Summit County, Ohio. Ashley had a daughter with Chad Cobb in 2005, and the couple broke up shortly thereafter. After that breakup, Chad began a relationship with Erica Lyon, and the two eventually married. The couple had two children together. Erica also had another child, the same age as Ashley's daughter, from a previous relationship. Chad retained custody of their daughter until Ashley regained temporary custody in 2011. On October the 5th of that year, having not seen her daughter for some years, Ashley Biggs, along with her then romantic partner, Brittany Dunson, picked up Ashley and Chad's daughter from school with a temporary custody order in hand. Ashley had provided no notice of the custody change to Chad, and Chad showed up at his daughter's school to pick her up that day, as he had done several times before, only to find that she was already gone. When Chad arrived at the school, the police were on the scene explaining the situation to the school's principal. Chad immediately hired an attorney seeking custody of his daughter back. Chad did not see his daughter for approximately 3 months after that date, despite her being in Chad's care for the vast majority of her life. Months of custody hearings and court dates ensued regarding their daughter's custody and care. Chad eventually received visitation with his daughter. In June of 2012, Chad, his new wife Erica, and their four children planned a trip to Disney World. Records confirm the family had already booked flights to Orlando for a trip leaving from Akron, Ohio on June the 22nd of 2012. Cindy Cobb, Chad's mother, eventually testified in court that she thought Chad and Ashley could have gotten along and worked something out concerning their daughter's care if it weren't for Chad's wife and Ashley's partner, who she believed added fuel to the fire and made the custody battle more contentious than necessary. Brittany, Ashley's romantic interest, even testified at the same trial that she had read emails from Chad's wife, Erica, to Ashley, threatening to rip her head off and kill her. Both Chad and Ashley alleged the other was abusing their daughter. Chad argued at a custody hearing that his daughter would come home with temporary tattoos near her genitals and other markings signaling abuse. During counseling, Chad and Ashley's daughter described the mental and emotional abuse Chad's wife Erica had put her through, some of which Chad was not aware of until much later. Much of the audio you will hear in this case has not been released before.
She did some things to Grace too, which nobody saw.
Right.
I didn't see it she's cruel to Grace.
Right. That's what I've heard from you guys.
Yeah, it's like with Ashley and Brittany, she's always like, I'll protect your family, save this, and we can't continue doing this. And it's like, I kept looking out. You know, there were so many things that were happening to Grace out here, and I had somebody right next to me that was harming her just as bad, or if not worse. Mm-hmm. And that was kept from, I had no idea. I used to work a lot. I was really never home. And it wasn't like I was out gallivanting and doing something wrong. I had a small company, and it required me to be away from home a lot. So sometimes I would be like from 6 in the morning till, sometimes like 2 in the morning. You know, and I'd come home, and I wouldn't have any idea. Erica would be all sunshine and rainbows, and I would have no idea, like, what was happening to Grace. Like, I couldn't even see what happened to her, like, in her eyes. I had kids, and Grace would look like she would be okay, but secretly inside, like, she was suffering.
Erica would threaten the young girl about being too affectionate with her father. She told her not to hug him. Perhaps most disturbing regarding Erica's abuse of the girl, on at least one occasion, Chad's daughter told her counselor that Erica made her eat dog feces that she had mixed with yogurt. Erica claims that that's not what it was. However, she admitted to Cindy Cobb that Cindy's granddaughter thought she was eating that.
They're the only things that he didn't know about at the time was the dog poop thing, which really wasn't dog poop, but nonetheless, same principle. She thought she was eating dog poop. That's not us. It's either here or there. And it was still gross. And abhorrent. That, and then the one I would be like, well, just don't be up your dad's ass. But I wouldn't put it that way. I'd be like, you know, don't up your dad so much. Don't do this, don't do that.
Yes, if you don't hug and love on your dad or whatever.
This was the situation the family was enduring leading up to the fateful night Ashley disappeared. On May the 11th, 2012, Ashley made a report to police at the nearby Akron Police Department. She was having work done on her car by a mechanic who found a GPS tracking device on her vehicle. The police report stated, "Victim states that she found tracking device on her vehicle. Victim is in a custody dispute and believes her ex-spouse may have placed the device." Chad and Ashley's custody battle had gotten so contentious that Ashley and her partner Brittany feared for their safety. Matt Travis, who was the manager of the Domino's Pizza where Ashley worked, called police shortly after midnight on June the 21st of 2012. He told police that Ashley had gone out to deliver a pizza and had not come back. Police determined that a female caller had placed a delivery order with Domino's at 11:42 p.m. on the night of June the 20th, 2012. The female caller asked that the pizza be delivered to the back of the delivery address. Police would later determine that that call originated from an unregistered prepaid cell phone. Approximately 9 minutes later, at 11:51 p.m., Ashley left Domino's in her 2002 gray Ford Taurus to deliver the pizza to an address on West Turkeyfoot Lake Road, a commercial building in New Franklin located in Summit County, Ohio. Ashley was never seen alive again. When the police arrived at the scene, officers found large amounts of blood and evidence of a struggle, but no Ashley. There was loose change on the ground and drops of blood near the west side of the scene. Officers followed a trail of blood behind the building and found a large amount of blood puddled on the ground. To investigators, it appeared as if someone or something had been dragged towards the rear parking lot of the building. Investigators reported that it had appeared as if someone had been loaded into a vehicle and driven away from the scene. Investigators now had a slight idea of what had happened, but there was much more to this story. Brittany told police that Ashley was fighting with Chad for custody of their daughter. She immediately pointed the finger at Chad upon finding out that Ashley was missing. Because Ashley was still missing, detectives asked if they could follow Brittany to her apartment so that she could provide them with an item such as a toothbrush or a hairbrush that only Ashley used. Meanwhile, officers located Chad Cobb's black Lincoln Navigator parked behind a garage near the back of the property of the crime scene. Police eventually learned that that property belonged to Chad's grandparents. Chad's wife Erica and four children were inside of the Lincoln Navigator. Officers also noticed a milk crate containing chemicals and a scrub brush directly behind the parked SUV. The police asked Erica what she was doing in the vehicle with the four children at that hour. She told police she didn't know what was going on, but that her husband had come home around 1 a.m. that morning. Erica told the police that Chad ordered her and the kids to get in the car in a hurried and panicked manner. Erica further told the officers she did not know where her husband was. Officers then heard something in the woods near the SUV moving around, and additional units were called in to begin checking the area. Police discovered Chad in the woods hiding from the officers. Chad and Erica were both detained by police. Detectives told Erica that they were searching for Ashley Biggs. They explained a female caller had placed an order for a pizza and Ashley had gone missing when she was out delivering it. Erica then advised that she did not wish to speak with them without an attorney present. Police then attempted to speak with Chad, who was in a police cruiser at this point, He also stated that he did not wish to speak to them without an attorney. Officers inspected Chad's appearance, and he had multiple holes and small rips in his shirt. He had blood on his shorts and his hand. His knees were dirty, and he had scratches on his body. Chad and Erica were taken to the New Franklin Police Department, where Chad was photographed at the department with the marks and injuries on his body indicative of a struggle. Later on that day, June the 21st of 2012, the Wayne County Sheriff's Department found Ashley Biggs' 2002 Ford Taurus in a cornfield in rural Wayne County, the next county beside Summit County, where the investigators found Ashley's blood and evidence of a struggle at that scene. Ashley's body was in the back seat of that car. She was bound with zip ties around her neck, legs, and ankles. Ashley's mother, Kim Biggs, helped police identify her body by telling them about the tattoos that she had. The preliminary cause of Ashley's death was strangulation, and there were multiple signs of blunt force trauma. Ultimately, the medical examiner determined Ashley's cause of death was strangulation by ligature. Police obtained a search warrant for Chad and Erica's residence and property. There, they found a taser, knife, duct tape, digital-style camo pants, belt, zip ties, a camo backpack and boots, and gloves in the backyard. Some of the items appeared to have blood on them as well. Police also matched the camo pants located at the home to the pattern of a camo coat found in Ashley's car. Additionally, duct tape and zip ties found at the home matched the duct tape and zip ties that were found with Ashley's body. Police also found tissue that appeared to have blood on it, a receipt from Verizon Wireless cell phone for a card they had purchased at Walmart showing the purchase of two Verizon cell phone cards on June the 18th of 2012 at Walmart in Wadsworth, Ohio. That's approximately 17 miles from the crime scene. Walmart employees advised investigators that a male and female with children made the purchase, and security footage was able to follow them to a black Lincoln Navigator. Detectives confirmed the male and female inside Walmart were Chad and Erica.
Things such as the phone that you guys bought at Walmart. When you guys went out to Walmart, you guys were on security video.
When I spoke to I called my mother last night. She said that she spoke to you guys and she mentioned that.
You guys went into the Verizon store there. It might have been the air cards. Did you buy air cards there for the cell phone?
I used to have a small company. There for a while, I had not a lot of guys, but I mean like six, I think six to ten. That was a lot for me.
Right.
And some of them had cell phones and some of them didn't. I had to give them cell phones.
Right.
So, like.
Did you give them like prepaid cell phones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because to put them on a plane was.
Ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. I mean, if I go to. Like Target or something like that, or Walmart or whatever, I think like getting on a prepaid cell phone had like 100 minutes when it was like $50.
Right.
Or something like that. So, I mean, there was a time where, yeah, I had a bunch of cell phones around, but it was for the employees. Or
yeah.
It wasn't, they didn't have like malicious intentions.
Right. Whatever phone that was used that night, obviously we pulled records from it. We knew it was used to call. And then, obviously, we looked for the phone.
I remember she said she threw it out her window.
Yeah, and
where
exactly? I don't know.
Prosecutors and police assert that Chad subdued Ashley with a taser and then hit her multiple times in the face and head and then strangled her. He then dragged her to the back of the parking lot at the delivery address and put her in the back seat of her own vehicle, which was then driven to an open field. Prosecutors charged Chad with aggravated murder, kidnapping, aggravated robbery, felonious assault, retaliation, tampering with evidence, gross abuse of a corpse, and possession of criminal tools, along with domestic violence. In February of 2013, Chad pled guilty in exchange for prosecutors taking the death penalty off the table. Chad is currently serving a life sentence in prison without the possibility of parole. But this wasn't the end of the story. At the time he pled guilty and was sentenced, Chad was unaware that his wife, Erica, was pregnant with another man's baby. After Chad's arrest, Erica and Mike Stefanko, a friend of Chad's, began a romantic relationship and eventually married. Chad and Erica's relationship became more strained after he went to prison and they did divorce. Then, on December 1st of 2017, Chad wrote detectives who had worked on his case a letter. In that letter, Chad detailed the abuse his daughter had suffered at Erica's hands, including threats to kill her and to make her eat dog feces. Chad also wrote that Erica had told him that she went and pissed on Ashley's grave.
I was told, like, she's feeding her dog shit, out of all things, and when you hear something like that, it's like, no.
That's, you don't want to believe it.
No, I mean, it's like, and yeah, that ain't right. That can't be right. And it was. And I mean, and there's more that goes along. And I guess, like, she was telling Grace that she would fall out of a car and die and our family would be better. And that really bothers me because I remember her talking similar gloom and doom about Ashley and Brittany. And that went bad. And it's like, you threatened death for them. One of them did end up dying. It's like, you threatened that same death for my daughter.
Chad recounted the night of Ashley's murder. He wrote that Erica had left their home in the Lincoln Navigator with two of their children. Later on, Chad received a phone call from Erica telling him that she knew Ashley was at work. Chad loaded his two other children in his truck and then drove to his dad's place of work. He put the two children in the SUV, left his keys in the truck, and got in the front passenger seat of the SUV. Erica drove past the Domino's Pizza where Ashley was working and pointed out her car to Chad. Erica drove into the parking lot at 647 West Turkeyfoot Lake Road, and the couple had a discussion. Chad wrote to the police that he told Erica he wanted to go home, but Erica insisted that Chad had to save their family and his daughter would never be safe unless he did something. Chad then recounted that Erica walked to the back of the SUV and made a phone call to Domino's Pizza that ultimately lured Ashley to her death. He wrote, "I can still see that smirk as she talked on the phone, that sick smirk. I think now that she knew exactly what she was doing." Erica then got in the vehicle and drove away with the four children and left Chad there in the parking lot. When Ashley arrived, thinking she was delivering a pizza, she encountered Chad and the two of them got into a physical altercation. Chad recounted that he became enraged and beat Ashley. There was blood all over him. He called Erica, and when he told her what had happened, Chad explains that Erica simply said, "That's unfortunate." He dragged Ashley's body to her car and put her in the back seat. Erica, with their four children in the SUV, followed Chad in Ashley's car. After driving Ashley's car into a field where she would eventually be found by police, Erica drove Chad home so that he could shower. Then, the couple, with their four children, drove back to the crime scene with chemicals and cleaning supplies to clean up the scene, but the police were already there. Chad wrote that the police eventually apprehended him in the nearby woods. Chad closed his letter with a plea to detectives to help him get out of prison someday in light of the information he had shared.
You know, like I told your parents, your dad told me, he reiterated it to you, that I have no control over your destiny here. Yes. You know, do I think Erica was involved as an assistant in your situation? I think that. Can I prove it? No. Okay. Do I think she's the one who made the phone call? Yes, which, you know, was confirmed by your mother. Your mom said that Erica admitted to her.
Yeah, Erica stayed with my parents after
the situation. Yeah.
And, I guess they talked.
They talked about stuff, right? You know, for me to be able to even approach Erica and be able to charge her with anything or even get a chance to, I need to have some kind of evidence. And evidence is going to be hard to come by 6 years later.
Yeah.
Detectives interviewed Chad in prison on January 25th of 2018, where Chad told a similar story to the one in his letter. Erica was arrested on November the 11th of 2019 after she was indicted by a grand jury for a laundry list of charges, including aggravated murder, murder, kidnapping, aggravated robbery, felonious assault, retaliation, tampering with evidence, grand theft of a motor vehicle, gross abuse of a corpse, and possession of criminal tools. If convicted, Erica faced a life sentence with parole eligibility after 20 years and then every 5 years beyond that point, or a life sentence without the possibility of parole. Erica went on trial in November of 2020 at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. She told the court she was innocent and that she understood what going to trial meant for her. Prosecutors argued that Ashley Biggs' murder could not have happened without Chad and Erica working, planning, and carrying it out together. Prosecutors argued that it was Erica who made the call to Domino's Pizza. She used a fake name and instructed the driver to deliver the pizza to the back door of the business. The call that placed the bogus pizza order lured Ashley to her death that night. Erica then followed Chad with their four children in the couple's SUV and waited for him to drive Ashley's car into a cornfield in nearby Wayne County, where Ashley was killed. Chad abandoned the car and her body in the back seat. Erica then took him home to shower the massive amounts of blood off his body. Cindy Cobb, Chad's mother, testified for the prosecution, where she authenticated a secret recording she had made in 2014 of a conversation between her and Erica. Erica was worried that Chad would tell authorities about her involvement in Ashley's murder. She told Cindy that Chad was threatening to go to the police about her role in the murder.
Is he there right now? I know, no, he's not there. I think it's still just too raw. And yeah, he's upset, and you're upset, and he needs more time, and you're impatient, not wanting to give him more time. And it's just then that comes into a battle.
So that, that's why I was like, okay, I was like, because the first thought that went through my head is immediately I'm like, well, if this is what's gonna happen. And I'm going to jail, and this is what's going to happen. Because to me, it was like one of two things. Either he's bluffing, and he really never really do that, or he plans to do it anyway. That was the fact that he put it there, instead of just having a normal conversation with me and saying, you know, I'm not
there. He put it on the floor.
Yeah, he wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Instead of just having a normal conversation and saying, look, I'm not ready for this. I don't want to be your enemy. I want to work with you with the kids. And I can't necessarily expect him to be able to articulate that given his state of mind. But I mean, the way he went about it, unless his real intention is actually to throw me in prison, in which case I need to make some arrangements to figure out what's going to happen with these kids, because every single one of them is going to get adopted out, except as obviously she's got some. So I don't know which one it was. But it's a legitimate argument if he can get that far. But the point that I was trying to come here to make was just like, I don't really know what he was trying to do with that. But what he really did was he totally flipped my switch. My first thought was, you know, well, obviously now I'm going to prison, so fuck everybody. And you guys are not seeing the kids, and he's not seeing the kids. I'm just going to spend as much time with them as I can until it happens. I felt really bad, and obviously I have a different perspective, but I felt really bad because I know how much that I put him in the position that he's in.
In the recording, Ashley admits she is the one who made the fateful call to Domino's Pizza. Erica also admitted to Cindy in the recording that if the whole story was told, both she and Chad would be in prison, and that it took two of us.
Do I think it took two of you to get to where he is today? Yeah. Well, that, I'm not disagreeing with that, but it took two of us. It wasn't, he's trying to put it all on me, and that's not right. And the reason that I have a problem with that, aside from just like, I don't think that. I always have that in the back of my head anyway. You know, like, what's, to be all honest with you, like, at this point in my life, I have no purpose for, I'm not trying to manipulate anyone, I'm not trying to bullshit anybody, I'm just wanting to go forward and raise the kids.
At one time, I mean, you told me face-to-face that you made the phone call and you set the meeting up. I mean, that's what you had told me.
And there's no lie in it.
We do, because I mean, it took both of you to get where you guys are today and where he is, and
it's not unreasonable to be like, well, okay, you get to go scot free. Why does he have to not bear this burden?
Right.
It's not that I don't understand that. It's that knowing that had to be your perspective was not a place I wanted to be.
And I mean, no way in hell we're doing this. I don't think he would.
No!
Erica also told some gruesome details of the then couple's planning of Ashley's death, stating to Cindy that Chad told her that if he was able to pull this off, he would use her skull as a trophy.
He came up with how to do it. He executed almost all of it. The part that he executed went totally awry. I mean, he would talk about, I tried, I couldn't really, there's no way for me to say it on the phone, and I didn't want to make a problem for him or make him angry for his appeal. But he was so, like, he would get this look on his face and be like, yeah, I'm going to, if this goes through and I can do this, I'm going to keep her skull as a trophy. And, you know, he's like, you don't even feel bad about what happened to her? And I don't know if I responded to it, but I feel bad about what happened to everyone else because of what happened to her. No, I don't lie and tell you that I feel bad about what happened to her. No, I really don't. I feel bad for her.
Cindy Cobb turned the digital recording over to the police in 2018 after having stored it in her gun safe for 4 years. Mary Brinkman, who was a family friend, also testified that Erica admitted she dropped Chad off at the crime scene where Ashley's murder occurred and waited for him to call her. Erica also admitted to Brinkman that she and Chad went to Chad's grandmother's home to hide out after spotting the police when they returned to the scene to clean it up. The defense argued that Chad was bitter over his divorce with Erica after she married Mike Stefanko, who was Chad's good friend and co-worker, and had to drag her down a level and try to get his prison sentence shortened. Chad testified remotely from prison for the prosecution. He testified that Ashley did not leave the parking lot of the crime scene alive, and he told the story he had written to the police 3 years earlier. Although Chad pleaded with detectives to help him lessen his prison sentence, Chad testified the prosecution made it very clear to him that nothing could be done for him in regards to his sentence in exchange for the information he gave police and prosecutors during their investigation of Erica or in exchange for his testimony. The jury convicted Erica of murder and aggravated murder. She was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years. Kim Biggs delivered a victim's impact statement at Erica's sentencing hearing. She told Erica and the court that she relives Ashley's death every single day, and she feels unspeakable pain and loss that she will never recover from.
No parent should ever have to bury their child. And because of your evil doings, Erica, I had to do just that. I had to bury my baby. And her daughter will never have her mother for her wedding. No mother and daughter talks. Grace will never have her mother beside her when she has her first child. You took away every motherly thing Grace will need from her mother in her life. You made my granddaughter believe she wasn't loved by her mother, wasn't cared for by her mother.
Ashley's daughter gave a statement as well. She described the abuse she had suffered at Erica's hands. She spoke of her father, Chad Cobb, and how he has always been the superhero in her life, even then as he was in prison. She told Erica, "Every day felt like a black hole that I was only falling deeper into until Chad would come home from work. He was the hand that lifted me up, and I'm proud to say that to this day, he still is." Erica appealed her conviction and sentence, and an appeals court reversed her 2020 conviction because the court allowed Chad's testimony to be given remotely from prison given the protocols in place for the COVID-19 pandemic. Prosecutors renewed charges against Erica of murder and aggravated murder once again. At her retrial in January of 2024, Chad testified in person at the courthouse in Akron, Ohio. Chad changed his story and testified at Erica's retrial that it was actually Erica who strangled Ashley with the zip tie. Although Chad's story differed from the original he told police in his 2017 letter, the jury was convinced again that Erica was responsible for Ashley's murder and convicted her of the same charges she was convicted of in 2020 after less than 2 days of deliberation. Erica was resentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years.
Okay, counsel, if the defendant could please rise. And I will read the jury's decisions. For verdict form one, count one, aggravated murder, state of Ohio versus Erica Stefanko, we, the jury, being duly impaneled and sworn, find the defendant, Erica Stefanko, guilty of the offense of aggravated murder. On count two, murder, we, the jury, duly impaneled and sworn, find the defendant, Erica Stefanko, guilty of the offense of murder in the commission of an offense as charged in the indictment